this leads to the final thing I wanted to tell you about it, and that is our living buildings. Under this administration and under Mr. Solomon, they are trying to open up all the public buildings to more public uses. Opening the buildings to the people is what we like to say. We hope to make all of the federal buildings an integral part of the community in which they are located and have them used for concerts, classes, art festivals, circus, lectures, and any other purpose that would fit the community's needs and wishes. I mention that because many of you are, as women working in all kinds of organizations, you're always looking for a place to have meetings. Go back and tell these buildings managers about the living communities and the opening in buildings, because some of them might not have heard about it yet, that these buildings are to be open to the public and they are to be used. And there will be rules and regulations that you'll be responsible for abiding by. But these buildings are to be opened up for the Living Buildings Program. In Washington, if any of you are from Washington, you know in our own building we now have the art program, art crafts program, and Mrs. Mondell, the vice president, has been going around promoting this program. And also, I think in the Department of Commerce, in the lobby there, they have an art program of major artworks and art crafts, major crafts of local people. And the information is there about who the artist is and how you can buy it. So I mention that because many of you will be going back to areas where you will need to use. These are your buildings, and they should be used. And lucky in this administration, we are opening these buildings up. I'd like to stop now because I think there are questions that you might have that you might want to talk about, and I don't know that I've even covered the types of things that you're interested in, so that's the reason I wanted to leave quite a lot of time so we could have just a free-for-all round open discussion. Thank you very much for that, this portion of it. Yes? Well, there is one federal building. The way you can usually find out is just by looking in the telephone book. And you can tell which is, because usually they'll have federal office building. Most of them are no longer named after someone, because Congress some years ago passed a law saying that they would all be just federal office buildings. So most of them you will see either the United States Courthouse and federal building, or a federal office building, but if you look under the United States government, you can just tell by the address where the federal building is. In New York City, there is one, and it's down on 295 or 245. I've forgotten the exact address, but it's way downtown. It will be a part, all the buildings will be a part of this new project that Mr. Solomon is promoting on living buildings. It might not apply to rented space as much unless the federal government is leasing the whole building. Where they are just leasing a few floors in the building, it might not apply as much. But it depends on whether they have the whole building and can use that whole building or whether they just have a few spaces. Yes?
My name is Barbara Deeds. I just resigned from General Services Administration last April. I was an $18,000 a year computer specialist. I have an EEO suit going against this agency's previous administration. I would like it to be on record that I helped you to get this job, and I am very happy for you that because I took the blows, I was stabbed, I stood all alone to fight for equality for women at GSA, and I'm happy that you were rewarded and the other women at the top of the administration. But currently, I am not employed. My professional career is completely ruined, and I'm happy for you, but it I'm the one that wrote to the congressman. I'm the one that's professionally blackballed, and I'm the one that took the slings and arrows. I also lobbied as an individual for Carter to nominate Bella Abzug as administrator of GSA, which he did not choose to do. But it is sisterhood, and it is women helping women. And there are some women who take the risk of professional blackballing and all alone. And no sisters helped me at GSA. In fact, some sisters turned their back on me. But I'm glad that in the end, something good has happened. And women at top levels like yourself will be in a position to maybe do something for women. I hope that you will not turn your back on sisters at GSA. I hope that in a meaningful position you can do something.
Not just at GSA, but throughout the government, and I would dare say throughout the private sector. That's part of the reason why this conference is being we're here in Houston today, is because of the recognition that women are on the bottom of the totem pole. We, in every way that I can and in every way that many of the others can, we are constantly trying. I don't know whether I've been sort of active in a lot of things with the women's group. In fact, it was my idea that Federally Employed Women got started. I was the first president of that group, and I was the GSA program, Federal Women's Program chairman for so long when they didn't really do anything. So this is not just an overnight thing. This is something that you have to constantly do. One of the things that we did, and we few now has, this has nothing to do with GSA, but a legal and education fund. And they put out a little booklet called Making Waves Without Drowning. And this is very significant for women who are caught up in the many, many discriminatory practices that have been going on for years. The whole idea of secretaries, if you look at the history of many of these areas, you'll find that sort of women's place has been one thing, and then men perceive women in other places. And even though you get in certain jobs, they still have the mentality of looking at women in a certain... So not only do we have to help each other, but we have to be sure and know the way in which we have to help ourselves. And so that's very important as well. That little booklet that I mentioned earlier, Making Waves Without Drowning, is talking in terms of not only just winning the battle, but winning the battle without drowning, because you can win an empty battle in many instances, and you not only set yourself back, but you set women back. Just as blacks have experienced that there are new rounds and new ways to discriminate, women are now becoming aware of the fact that they are reaching up to the point where their people are getting much, much more sophisticated. They will no longer tell the jokes. They will no longer say, no, we don't want a woman, because they know that's overt. But there are other ways of doing it, and they can do it so subtly. So you have to be aware of all of these things, and then just ask the questions. When I was at NASA, they had a program, and the program was so training program-like, but it was so structured that it was only for the higher-grade women and for really for men. Now, on paper, it was open to everybody, but when you look behind that, you'd find that it really was not open to everyone because of the tradition. So I said all that to say that I'm aware of many, many, many areas where we need to improve the status for women. Well, that is an area. In fact, I brought with me the Justice Department. There was a if I can find it right quick. Put out a I don't know what I did with it, but just recently in New York State, or was it New New York, and that's just one of the states, there was an affirmative action plan for women in, on October, the Justice Department was seeking to participate as a friend of the court in a private suit challenging a Massachusetts affirmative action plan that establishes a goal for use of minority subcontractors. Transit construction projects seek to use minority subcontractors for 30% of the price of the contract. The Justice Department's notion said the government, because of its support for affirmative action, believes that its views can help the court to resolve the dispute. The motion said the issue before the court is whether a state affirmative action plan such as this, which establishes a minority business subcontracting goals, violates the Fourth Amendment in the Constitution in Title 7-6 of the Federal Civil Rights Act. Now, this would be the same thing. There are many, many states now. In fact, on the federally assisted program, the statute that was passed a couple years or so ago, putting funds in it, the Contractors Association is trying to get that overturned to say that it's unconstitutional to set aside a certain percentage of either the money or the jobs on federally constructed contracts in the construction area for minorities or for women. So these are the kinds of things that you're going to have to fight. And women should be as concerned about this kind of thing as well as the Bakey case and other things, because they must widen their horizons and see that it's not necessarily just women, but all humankind, all people. So it's very important that, yes, GSA does have as a part of its affirmative action plan setting aside, but you have people out there who are fighting that, fighting it constantly.
I'm terribly sorry, but we are going to have to stop here. The lecture series has been joined, and we have another speaker for this period. I think that Ms. Latimer will be...
I'll be around.
...around today. So please hold your questions now so
it's
that we can...
A question. I just want to congratulate Ms. Latimer on her statement that she is the first woman, and I am also going to... side with my sister. Now, Adam Clayton Powell, over a long time ago, and a lot of us walked the streets for the benefit of women and men, and many more other people in New York State, and Posner is fighting for men and women, and there was many positions that I fought for, I did not get, like in radio and television. I believe I was one of the first women to receive an FCC license. But you don't get bitter about it. You don't stop. I'm sort of still here, but I get such a thrill out of seeing women for the first time in my lifetime move up. And in New York City, we have a Carol Bellamy, who is now a council president. So, you know, you'll pick up strength from here, and you'll move on, and it's really, I'm just so thrilled with this conference.
I think we all are. Thank you very much, Ms. Adams. Moderator for the other panel is Ms. Doris McLaughlin, and she will be introduced.